Well, hello everybody and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis. And if it's the top of the hour, 3 p.m. Central Time, well, you're hearing the live broadcast, and we want you to be a part of it. We want to hear from you. What's on your mind? Let's talk about it right now at 844-322-2742, both in Canada and the U.S. Toll-free, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. You know, we're about to celebrate Christmas, and everybody is all excited and gifts and all of these things. And for those who are in Christ, we know the real reason for the season, and that's to celebrate the birth of Jesus. But I think there's something even more exciting about it. This Jesus that was born 2,000 years ago has come to live in every single person who has come to know him
yes.
by faith. That is the great news. Paul put it this way. In Colossians chapter 1, he says, to them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of this of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So we have this good news that 2,000 years ago, a Savior was born in the town of Bethlehem. But it becomes even better news. It explodes out when we realize that this Jesus who lived and died and then was raised again and then ascended into heaven has come to live in us to give us his very life. And that's oftentimes the missing link in Christian understanding, the fact that Christ has come to live inside of us. Oftentimes there are people out there who receive, and what they are receiving is a golden ticket that is going to allow them entry into heaven one day. But that's not the real story of the gospel. That's not the real story of Christmas, that Christ is born in us. We get to experience his life here and now. And guys, I know Richard and Andrew and Bob, if there's one thing that we could communicate to listeners out there, it would really be this, wouldn't it? That Christ is alive, living in you.
Yes, and it is not easy to communicate it to people because, you know, guys, I've just noticed that over the years, people have an expectation of religion. They have an expectation of Christianity. We expect to be involved in a behavior improvement program. We expect to be involved in a sin management system. We expect to have a system of rules and a system of principles, and we have expectations of what religion, or in this case, Christianity, will provide us with. And, you know, life, spiritual life indwelling us is not at the top of that list when it comes to the human perception of what Christianity is. So, you know, people will say, well, give us something practical. I mean, you know, it's great to talk about the life of Christ in us, but how is that practical? And where's the application? I'm sure we've all heard that so many times. How can it be practical, and where's the application? And, you know, in that request, it seems like we're missing the fact that the person of Jesus is practical. The fruit of the Spirit, whether that's the love of Christ or the gentleness of Christ, or the kindness of Christ in us. I mean, that is the practical outworking of God's Spirit, of this new life in us. So we don't have to be saying Jesus plus practicality or Jesus plus application. Jesus is the application, and it's a simple childlike trust in him that is worked out in every situation of our lives. He is our life. He is our everything.
Yeah. And there's some other aspects of this as well that really just blow my mind. You know, we're all into forgiveness. We want our sins to be forgiven. You know, that's the cry of the human heart. And when you realize that Christ has come to live inside of you, that becomes proof that your sins have been forgiven, because Christ isn't going to come to live inside of a dirty vessel. So he cleansed us, he took away our sins, he forgave us, and then he came to live inside of us. So we have proof positive in the fact that Christ is alive living in us, that our sins have been forgiven, that we are clean and righteous before the Lord, that we have been imparted his very righteousness. And Andrew, you're really so good at communicating this about the fact that we have a new heart. And it's this infusion of Jesus Christ, this oneness that we have in him, that is proof positive that that's true. So we've been equipped to live out the practicality and the application of Jesus Christ himself in such a wonderful, glorious way. So this Christmas, remember this truth. And thank God for this truth, that it is Christ in you, your hope of glory.
It is indeed. And it's Basic Gospel, everybody. Glad you could join us. Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, Andrew Farley. I'm Bob Davis. And 844-322-2742 is a good number to jot down and keep handy, because if you hear the live broadcast between 3 and 3:25 p.m. Central Time every day, every weekday, well, you can be a part of the live broadcast and talk with us directly. You can do that right now. 844-322-2742. That's a toll-free call in the U.S. and in Canada. And guys, we talked about this week, this phenomenal $50,000 matching gift offer we've received. And Bob, for everyone who did not hear yesterday or Monday, can you tell them a little bit more about this?
Well, this is exciting. We had a group of friends that came to us and said, hey, we want to give some money and offer this as a matching gift challenge. So what that means is they are going to match every dollar that's given up to $50,000 between now and the end of the year. We would really like to see this thing matched before we get to Christmas.
Yeah.
So by Friday of this week. But it is a wonderful opportunity for you to double the impact of your gift, to double the power of your gift in connecting people to the love of Jesus Christ. And I know we all want more out of the things that we do, the things that we give. Well, here's this one opportunity for that to happen as far as you're concerned. So if you want to give the gift of Jesus this year through the Basic Gospel Radio broadcast, here's a chance to double the impact of your gift. So what that means, if you give $100, it's like giving $200. If you give $500, it's like giving $1,000. If you give $1,000, it's like giving $2,000. So we're asking you to be as generous as you possibly can so that this doubling effect can reach more and more people with the good news of Jesus Christ, so that more and more people can really come to grips with this awesome truth that it's Christ in them, their hope of glory.
And there are several ways that you can give, friends. First and best, I think, probably, is to go online to basicgospel.net and click that prominent donate link right there on the home page. You can also give by phone at 844-322-2742 or with the Basic Gospel app. You can send a check to Basic Gospel. You'll find the address, address of the ministry there on the website, basicgospel.net. In Canada, a good way to give is through basicgospel.net/Canada. But anyway, is a great way. And if you live outside the U.S. or Canada, PayPal is the best way to donate to make this happen and to double your gift this month to Basic Gospel. Well, again, 844-322-2742. In off hours, we had this call come in, guys.
Yes, good evening, gentlemen. A quick question. I believe that it's not necessary as a believer in Jesus Christ who definitely has a strong faith in Jesus Christ. I believe it's not necessary to have an absolute belief that the Bible is without error, without contradiction, and without inaccuracies, and that is the situation with myself. I certainly, as an honest person, can see that there's definitely some inconsistencies and inaccuracies. However, I have a very strong faith in Jesus Christ, and quite fundamental. Do you really think that it's necessary to think that the Bible is completely without error? I believe most of the Bible is definitely inspired by God, but there's definitely some places in the Bible. You read the account of the flood with Noah, and there's definitely some laughable aspects to that, and obviously there's other places where there's definitely inconsistency. So please give me your thoughts on that. Thank you.
Great question, isn't it, guys?
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting that somebody would say, I really have a strong faith in Jesus, but I don't necessarily believe the Word of God is completely infallible or inerrant. And I mean, we need to realize that if Jesus said the Word is truth, then guess what? The Word is truth.
Yes, indeed.
He's God. And if he says that, then we believe that. So I think that's important to establish, that really the authority and the inerrancy of the Word of God is tied to Jesus Christ himself. And we have to make that connection. If we don't make that connection, then, there's all kinds of confusion that can creep in. Certainly as you read the Old Testament and some of those stories, it is perplexing. You kind of scratch your head a little bit and wonder. But it's been dictated, these men who wrote, and it's 40 men who have authored the Word of God, all moved by the Holy Spirit. And if they weren't moved by the Holy Spirit, I think we would have something else to say. But the fact that they were moved by the Holy Spirit gives us confidence that the words that were written down were the exact words that God wanted to write down for our sake, for our benefit. So I fully believe that we can look at this Word of God and recognize it as the Word of God, that this is exactly what God wanted to reveal to us about himself and the person and work of Jesus Christ. And I think it's important for us to take a stand on that, to really drive a stake and say, this is the Word of God. Now, the letters that were written by the apostles, the originals, we don't have those. We have copies, and we have thousands and thousands and thousands of copies, over, I think, 5,200 Greek manuscripts of the New Testament, over 10,000, I think, in Latin, and something like 9,000 in other languages. And the message in all of those is consistent from start to finish. Whatever errors that you find, it's errors in spelling, errors in punctuation, and if in copying a manuscript somebody made an error, then in the next manuscript somebody would copy that error, and so now that's two errors, and then it multiplies out and becomes 5 or 10 or 15 errors, but it's the same one. Mm-hmm. So we can have utmost confidence that this Bible that we read, this Bible that we hold in our hands, is actually the Word of God. Why? Because it has the power of salvation contained in it. It points us to Jesus Christ, to faith in Jesus Christ, so that we can have life in him. Andrew, Richard, you guys have some thoughts on this?
Yeah, I mean, you look at Matthew 24 and you see Jesus talking about Noah. Now, this is Jesus, our Savior, the Son of God, talking about Noah. And he says, as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day when Noah entered the ark, and they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Now he's talking here about his return, but you'll notice that he's comparing it to Noah's situation. He refers to the days of Noah, he refers to the existence of Noah, he refers to the flood, he refers to people entering the ark, and he refers to the unaware state of these people when the flood hit. So when we talk about the flood being laughable, or we talk about Old Testament accounts being inaccurate, we have to remember that whether it's creation or the flood or many other things, Jesus referred to these and taught about them, and that's our Savior that we're talking about. And he taught with authority, and he is God. So you're right, Bob, that we've got, 5,000 plus manuscripts in Greek, and others 10,000 in Latin, and almost 10,000 in other languages, and there can be, as you've already stated, copying errors and this and that and the other. But what we're saying is that God's Word stands, and in the original manuscripts, what God gave to the apostles, what God gave to the prophets, is without error, and it is the truth that sets us free. Otherwise, guys, we are left with, well, I'll take this verse but not that verse, and I'll take this thought but not that thought, and we begin handcrafting our own gospel and our own message instead of submitting to the Word of God and also the living Word, Jesus himself, as he affirmed creation, Adam and Eve, Noah, the flood, and so many other Old Testament events.
Yes, so who do you say that Jesus is? If you say that he's God, then you're going to believe what he says about the Word of God. It's really that simple, that clear, and we can trust, we can submit ourselves to the authority of this Word and experience the power of this Word in our lives as we learn to walk by faith in Jesus Christ.
It's Basic Gospel, everybody. Glad you're with us. Friends, want to remind you that the registration deadline for our 2019 trip to Israel is tomorrow, Thursday, the 20th. Now, this adventure could be the experience of a lifetime for you. We want you to be a part of it. Now, we've talked about it many times, but if you're still trying to decide, well, the moment of decision is here. So for information and registration, go online to basicgospel.net and click the Israel 2019 banner right at the top of the home page. Tomorrow, the 20th, registrations will end. So now is the time to make that decision. Information and registration, as I said, is online at basicgospel.net. Click the Israel 2019 banner at the very top of the homepage, and that's a good place to go in May and June of 2019.
Yes, it is. It's going to be a fantastic trip. So maybe you're still contemplating a Christmas present. Well, this could be a good one. The gift of a trip to Israel next May 5th through June 6th. We're just looking forward to a wonderful, wonderful time. Yeah. So come join us next year for a trip of a lifetime to Israel.
Yeah, once again, the banner top of the homepage, basicgospel.net.
Well, thanks, Trudy, who's watching us on Facebook, has this question. He says, when do you say is the day of Christ's birth and why? So was he actually born on December 25th, or do we even know the exact day that Jesus Christ was born?
We don't know the exact day that he was born. It's not stated. We know about when it happened. It probably wasn't in December. you know, Quirinius was governor of the area, and there was this census to go out. So they know approximately, based on the history, that it was, you know, between 4 and 6 B.C., but that's about as precise as we can get it. The issue is not when, but that he was indeed born.
Yes.
And you know, God took great pains to bring Jesus to our world in conformance with hundreds of prophecies from the Old Testament. There is no question of who Jesus is and how he was prophesied and why it was such a miraculous thing. I mean, just think about it. I mean, I think it's Isaiah 6 where he asks the king to ask for a sign, and the king won't respond by faith. He says, I'm not going to ask the Lord for a sign. And the Lord says, well, I'm going to give you a sign anyway. Behold, a virgin will conceive. That was hundreds and hundreds of years prior. And it's the Old Testament is full of that kind of thing. And every one of those came true in Jesus Christ. The date is immaterial. I mean, if we're going to say it has to be December 25th, then we're going to have to answer questions about paganism and why suddenly we chose to go with the winter solstice and other pagan ideas.
Yeah.
It was convenient for the church to put it there because they had so many people who believed in the old pagan ways, and they said, well, why don't we reclaim it for Christianity? I doubt the wisdom of that long term, but that's what they did.
Yeah.
And so we celebrate, and we're happy, and we know that Jesus wasn't born on December 25,
right.
And you move on.
Yeah, never forget, I was sitting with a group of guys, and you know, most of them were just really new, raw, as mm-hmm. far as their understanding of the Bible, understanding of the gospel. Most had never really opened the Bible. And I said, you know, guys, Jesus wasn't born on December 25th. It almost shocked them. It's like, really? You mean that's not in the Bible? And you can scour the pages and you will never see December 25th mentioned anywhere in Old or new. That was something that happened hundreds and hundreds of years later. But, Richard, I think you nailed it by saying that it's not the date that's important. It's the fact that he was born mm-hmm. and that he came into this world, inhabited that body that God the Father had prepared for him, and then he offered that body as the once-for-all sacrifice to take away sins, to take away our sins for all time, and then was raised back to life in that body. He ascended into heaven and now is giving us his life when we receive him by faith. Mm-hmm. And for those of us who have received him by faith, we get to share and participate in his life. And boy, that's the most exciting aspect of this Christian life.
Yeah.
Andrew, you have any thoughts on this?
Well, I was just going to say, but he was born under a tree, right?
That's right. Had all those, you know, even our nativity scenes aren't really biblical. We have all of those folks gathered there, and you know, that just wasn't the scene. Maybe the shepherds showed up, the wise men came maybe two years later. And all of that. But we've put all of that in one little nativity scene.
It's romantic.
Yes,
but that's about it.
Yes, right. We need to get more biblical with our understanding of this story of Christ's birth.
Yes, we do. I had a question from Jay from Grosse Pointe Farms in Michigan. He would like to get an explanation of John 10:34-35, where Jesus said, "Has it not been written in your law, I said, you are God." He'd like an explanation of that passage.
John 10:34-35. Okay. Well, it's a phrase from the Old Testament, and he's not talking about gods in the sense of divine. He's just simply talking about rulers and those sort of things. But he's using that to really substantiate his claim that he and the Father are one. I mean, this was a blasphemous phrase according to the religious leaders.
Yeah.
And they picked up stones to stone Jesus. And the reason they picked up stones to stone Jesus is because the law commanded that. Anyone who commits blasphemy against the Lord is to be stoned by the whole community of Israel. That's what it says in the book of Leviticus. So the religious leaders heard Jesus say he and the Father are one. They believe that to be a blasphemous statement. They picked up stones to stone him, and Jesus came back with this argument out of their own scriptures, and he's saying, "Why are you saying that I am blaspheming?" So that was the point of this, but he's not saying that those folks in the Old Testament that this passage referred to were gods in the sense of divine, but they were simply referring to them as rulers, as people that had authority over others.
Yeah. Well, it is Basic Gospel, and we're about to wrap it up for this edition. We appreciate hearing from all of you, our listeners, who call or who drop an email to us, and we'd love to address your question. If you have one, use the email address bob@basicgospel.net, or you can call anytime, 24 hours a day, and leave your voicemail at 844-322-2742. We would love to address your question here at Basic Gospel. And as we approach Christmas and the new year, we have received a wonderful $50,000 matching gift offer. Now, every dollar that you give up to that amount will be effectively doubled now through the 31st. And as Bob suggested at the start of the program, we would love to see that done by Christmas, if at all possible. But we're hoping to see this excellent gift not only matched but exceeded to help us expand the reach of the ministry of grace in Christ Jesus. So we ask you, our faithful listeners, to help double that $50,000, make it $100,000 for the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. You can make your gift by phone, by check. You can do it with the Basic Gospel app or through PayPal. But the easiest and best way probably is to click donate at basicgospel.net, or in Canada, basicgospel.net/Canada. So friends, let's all do our parts to match that $50,000 and make it $100,000. That would be just wonderful. Also, very quickly, the registration deadline for the upcoming trip to Israel and Jordan is tomorrow, the 20th. So now is the time to make that decision, and all the information you can find at basicgospel.net. Click the Israel banner at the top of the page. Well, now for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, for Andrew Farley and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be here again tomorrow for Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.